I'll bet many of you walked in here today praying for a loved one that you want to come to Christ, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a friend, a child, a grandchild, and it hasn't happened yet. Or you've been praying to find a godly husband or a godly wife, and it hasn't happened yet. Or you've been praying about a new job or about a promotion, and it hasn't happened yet. Or you've been praying for a contract to come through, or some financial boon that you need to come through, and it hasn't happened yet. Or you've been praying for your house to sell, or for you to find the perfect house to buy, and it hasn't happened yet, and God has been making you wait. Now, if you walked in here like that today, my friends, as a believer in Jesus, you came to the right place today. Because that's what we're going to talk about, because I'm going through those very same kind of things in my life. And since this series is entitled From My Heart to Your Heart, we're going to talk about this idea, this biblical truth of waiting on the Lord. So, are you ready? All right, here we go. We're going to begin in John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Let me show you a map so you see where we were. They were living in Bethany, not far from Jerusalem. And you see Capernaum, where Jesus' headquarters was. But he was actually at this time staying on the east side of the Jordan River, where you see the Jewish star in red. So he was on the other side of the Jordan. Now, verse 3. So the sister sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love, Lazarus, is sick. And when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God, who's that? Jesus, right, may be glorified by it. Now, Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard Lazarus was sick, Jesus stayed where he was for 2 more days. Notice, this is a key element in the story, namely that Jesus made Mary and Martha wait. Do you see that? Okay, now, verse 11. Then Jesus said to his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And his disciples replied, well, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. Jesus had been speaking, the Bible says, of Lazarus's death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. And Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now let's stop for a moment. And let's notice that right here, Martha makes a huge mistake in what she says to Jesus. Martha says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And the mistake she makes is thinking that Jesus had to be physically present in order to heal somebody. He didn't. John chapter 4 says, so Jesus came again to Cana, where he had made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick. And where was his son sick? Say it. At Capernaum. Now let's show you a map, and we'll show you how far Capernaum and Cana are apart. Approximately 20 miles apart. So, this nobleman comes to Cana from Capernaum, and when he heard that Jesus was there in Cana, he went to him and begged him to come to Capernaum and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. Stop a minute. Did Jesus ever leave Cana? No. Did he ever walk the 20 miles to Capernaum and meet the son? No. He just said, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word Jesus had spoken and went his way. He headed back to Capernaum. And as he was going, his servants met him and told him, your son lives. Then the man inquired of them the hour when his son got better. And they said, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And the father knew, watch, that it was at that very hour that Jesus had said to him, your son lives. So he believed, and all of his household. Listen, folks, if the Lord Jesus had wanted to heal Lazarus before he died, so immense is his omnipotence that he could have done it from right where he was on the other side of the Jordan River. He did not have to go to Bethany in order to do it. The reason he didn't heal Lazarus was not because he couldn't handle it. You understand what I'm saying? Hello. Yes, Jesus could handle it even from miles away. And friends, that you can't bring Jesus a situation. You can't bring Jesus a problem. You can't bring Jesus a prayer request that he can't answer on the spot. There's no such thing. You with me? Now, verse 38. So Jesus came to the tomb, and there was a cave with a stone laid across it. Take away the stone, Jesus said. But Lord, said Martha, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, didn't I say to you, Martha, that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and Jesus called out in a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. Then the dead man came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes and with a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to the people, loose him and let him go. Before we go on the next verse, could I just remind you, Jesus just raised somebody from the dead. Hello? Amen? Hallelujah? Something? Yeah. We don't want to just skip over this. Good grief. Therefore, many of the Jewish people who beheld what Jesus had done believed in him. Well, I guess so. But some of them went and told the rabbis what Jesus had done. So from that day on, the rabbis plotted to put Jesus to death. Why? Well, because everybody was going and believing in him. That's why. And look what it says in John 12. The chief priests also made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many Jewish people were going over to Jesus and believing in him. So let's summarize and ask this. Did Jesus turn Lazarus's death into glory for himself as the Son of God the way he said he was going to do? Yes, he did. You bet your 401k he did. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Now, that's as far as we want to go in the passage, because we want to stop now and we want to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Yes. All right, here we go now, nice and loud. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
What?
Yeah. You say, Lon, so what? See, that's a great story. I mean, I love that story. But what has that got to do with me and waiting on the Lord? Well, a lot. Remember what we said, that one of the key elements of the events of John chapter 11 is that Jesus made Mary and Martha wait before responding to their situation. And they were pretty unhappy about it, actually. Remember, Martha and later Mary both come out and say, Lord, if you had been here, you weren't. But if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Now, what are they really saying? What are they really saying? Folks, what they're really saying is, Jesus, you were late. You didn't get here on time. You're running behind schedule. You were late. And they were accusing him of that. But may I remind you that they're not the only people in our world who've ever accused Jesus of that. I got this very same problem. I mean, when I don't care what the situation is in my life, I'm just like Mary and Martha. I know exactly what I want God to do, and I know exactly how I want God to do it, and I know exactly when I want God to do it, which is right now. And just like Mary and Martha, so often he makes me wait and wait and wait, and it drives me crazy. Can you guys relate to that? Say amen. Yeah. You say, all right, Lon, so that brings up a question. The question is, why didn't Jesus go to Bethany immediately? Why didn't he heal Lazarus immediately? And why doesn't God step in and solve my problems immediately when I ask him to? Well, that's a wonderful question, and the answer is found right in the Bible. Here it is. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. The Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, and I might add, neither is your timing my timing, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And I'll add again, my timing higher than your timing. See, God had a perfect plan for Lazarus's sickness. He told us what it was. Verse 4, this sickness is for the glory of God, that the Son of God, Jesus, may be glorified by it. But God's perfect plan, listen to me now, also had a perfect timing. God's timing wasn't for Jesus to arrive in Bethany when Lazarus was sick and heal him, and Jesus therefore get some glory. No, no. God's timing was for Jesus to arrive in Bethany when Lazarus was stone cold, stinking in the grave, dead, and resurrect him, and thereby Jesus gets maximum glory. Do we see this? Do we see this? I don't know what you think, but healing somebody that's sick is impressive. Raising somebody from the dead is more impressive than that. Yeah? And in order for that timing to be worked out, this is what I want you to see. Mary and Martha had to wait. They had to wait. Now listen, friends, God is never early. And that's a shame, honestly, because I'd love God to be early once in a while in my life. God is never early. But folks, God is never late either, even though we accuse God of that all the time. We say to him, God, what are you doing? I mean, come on here. What is going on? What? Where are you? Been there? Done that? Oh, yeah. God's not early, but he's never late either, friends. God is always right on schedule. And therefore, whenever he asks you and me to wait, he knows what he's doing, whether you understand it, whether I understand it or not. Mary and Martha didn't understand it, but by the time Jesus was through, they did. But they didn't understand it before he completed what he was up to, did they? And often we don't understand it, but that's okay. It doesn't matter if we understand it. It matters if he understands it. Now, we see this throughout the Bible, this principle that God's never late. You know, I think of Moses and the Israelites who were trapped at the Red Sea, and Pharaoh was getting ready to sweep down on them with his chariots. And I'm sure standing there with their back to the Red Sea and the chariots of Pharaoh coming right at them, that all of those Israelites thought that God was late. But friends, God was not late. God was right on schedule. Let me tell you why. God made them wait until Pharaoh came out with his army to try to kill them before he opened the Red Sea. You know why? Because if he had opened the Red Sea before that and they'd have gone through and he had closed it, Pharaoh and his army could have crossed over into the Sinai, pursued them, killed them, possibly even brought them back. But by waiting till Pharaoh's army got to the Red Sea and then opening it, God was able to crush that army so it didn't even exist anymore in the waters of the Red Sea. And we read nothing of Pharaoh ever bothering the Israelites again. Was God late? No, he wasn't late. He was right on schedule. And I think of Ruth and Naomi coming back to Bethlehem as destitute widows. I'm sure the two of them thought after Naomi's husband died and Ruth's husband died, and here they are with not two shekels to rub together. I'm sure they thought God was late. Oh, but my friends, Boaz was right on time, wasn't he? Ruth out in the field that day? No, he was there right on schedule, folks. And you know, I think of Abraham and Sarah, whom God made wait 25 years for Isaac, and Joseph, whom God made wait 13 years in jail in Egypt. And I think of Esther and Mordecai, and I think of Nehemiah. God made him wait 6 months before the king said to him, "What's bothering you, Nehemiah?" And I think of David hiding in caves for 7 years while Saul chased him around. Listen, even though God made them wait, God was right on schedule for every single one of these people. And folks, I just want to reassure you, God's going to be right on schedule for you. He never misses a schedule. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The mind of man plans his way." Isn't that true? Man, I got my way planned. I don't care. You give me anything, I can plan it out. I know where I want to go and what I want to see happen. But the Lord directs his steps. And that's so good. Because true men and women of God believe this, that God has a better way of getting us where we need to go, when we need to be there, than any plan we could ever come up with for ourselves. And therefore, this is the point of today. When God asks a true man or woman of God to wait on something, as hard as it may be, and it is hard, that man or that woman of God have enough wisdom that they say, "Fine, Lord, I'll wait." You say, "Well, Alan, how do you know when to wait, and how do you know when not to wait?" Oh, I can't answer that question for you. You got to get on your knees and seek the face of God to answer that question. Because that question's different in every circumstance and for every person. I can only do that, answer that question for myself on my knees. But you get on your knees and say, "God, you want me to wait or you want me to move?" And God will show you what he wants you to do. For example, if nobody will marry you, then he wants you to wait. I mean, that's obvious, right? Yeah, okay. That was easy. Okay, now, let me conclude and say this. If God's asking you to wait on him for something right now, as he is in my life, what he's really asking you, friend, is to trust him. That's what he's really asking you, to trust him that his plan and his timing are best for you. And as you wait, and I urge you to do that, as you wait and say, "Lord, I'm just going to trust you," remember the great promise God has given us. It's in Isaiah 49. "Those who wait upon me," the Lord says, "shall never be put to shame." Gosh, I love that. You wait on God, and when God's ready, he'll be there, and you'll be glad you waited on him. Let's bow our heads together. And with our heads bowed, what I'd like you to do is right now, think of something in your life, maybe two things, where you've been praying and praying and praying, and God's been saying, "No, no, not yet. We're going to wait." You got them? Okay. Now what I want you to do is I want you to turn loose of them. And give them to the Lord and say, "Lord, sorry for arguing with you about this, Lord. Sorry for impugning you and your timing. Sorry for getting mad about this, Lord, frustrated. I'm going to trust you. Here they are, Lord. I'm giving them back to you. I'm letting them go. Take a moment and do that. Lord Jesus, thanks for talking to us today. We needed to hear from you on this today. I did anyway. Father, forgive me for arguing with you. Forgive me for questioning you. Forgive me, Lord, for impugning your timing and your character and your wisdom. And Lord, forgive me, Lord Jesus. I'm so sorry I do that. Help me just trust you, knowing that you have never been late for anybody, and you won't be late for me. Help me believe that and rest in that great truth that he who waits on the Lord shall never be put to shame. Lord, take all these things we've given you and reassure us that if we'll just let you have your way, you'll see to it that every one of these things get worked out for our good and for your glory. We commit all these things to you that we've prayed about today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.